What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
This is quite timely given the subject we've just been discussing. Well, the crime wave, the stolen car wave, etc. Have a listen to this. This is a very interesting article, and I commend it highly to you if you're concerned, as most all locals should be, about this explosion in car theft numbers. Why is it happening? Why is it totally unprecedented? I mean, the numbers are just staggering. You might have just heard Marty talking about one family on the weekend had three cars stolen. How the hell do they organise? This is how organised these little thugs are. You know, some of these kids are 10 years of age. Is anything being done? Nothing. Absolutely nothing that is going to have the slightest impact on them. They must laugh their heads off. They must laugh their heads off when these people in Brisbane, we're going to take action. And the bail conditions will be changed now. What a lot of absolute poppycock. The juvenile justice system is a farce. It's an embarrassment. It's a disgrace to law-abiding people. Have a listen to this. Now, Peter Carruthers has done a good job of this. This is pages 4 and 5 of today's Cairns Post. It's under the heading, Troubled Teen Stuck in Vicious Theft Cycle. Wait till you hear the figures. A teen offender born into the care of the state and first locked up at 10 years of age. I don't know what locked up exactly means here, but let's move on. Claims to have stolen, wait for it, more than 300 cars. This is a juvenile offender already having stolen 300 cars. In a revealing and heartbreaking, it says here, first-hand insight into the Far North's youth crime crisis. Look, I'll cut to the chase here because it's quite an extensive coverage. The 17-year-old Torres Strait Islander lad who the Cairns Post has chosen to name Sam was made a ward of the state from an early age and following a seven-year tour of Queensland youth correctional facilities is now back in Cairns, housed within the residential care system. Placed at a Manunda Resi care home at a property with two girls aged 12 after being released from Cleveland Youth Detention Centre, Sam said he dumped his bag there on the first night and rarely returns. He said youth workers occasionally tried to track him down and he was largely left to roam the streets. 300 stolen cars, one kid. The subject of child safety orders since birth, the ice-ravaged 17-year-old never learned to read or write. Sam's first contact with the juvenile justice system was at age 10. Now, I'll cut to the chase here. The youth offender admitted to a long list of offences, including snatching cash from the elderly. And when he was 16, Sam was the subject of a frantic police hunt after stealing guns from a Bentley Park home. Sam said he felt trapped in a cycle he had limited power to get free from. But have a listen to this. He did indicate ties with mates on the street needed to be severed to make any progress toward a new life away from crime, in a nod to long called for relocation sentencing, advocated for by Katter's Australia Party. You see, even these people are saying, listen, if you want to get me off the street, if you want to save your stolen car figures exploding through the roof, better do something about it. Try this option that we talk about on this program from time to time that is the only hope of any sort of solution here. Get them out of here. Get them away from here. Get them away from temptation. Give us a break. Try relocation sentencing. And Robbie Katter has been advocating this for some extended period of time on this program. He's the state member for Traeger, Queensland state leader, Katter's Australia Party. Robbie Katter's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
How did you respond to that coverage there today, Robbie?
Well, it was a fascinating article. It's rare that I get to expose to a lot of these things firsthand in the role that I have here, but in Mount Isa, but a lot of people don't, so it's fascinating to get that in print because it's not often you can get someone. So he's done a really good job there. But I do really feel sorry for your listeners, John. I think any listeners on your program are looking for common sense, and they would approach this rationally and say, well, And they've probably been saying for years, well, clearly what the government's doing isn't working.
Yes.
Which is, you know, the point we reached 4 or 5 years ago. And you, so you start talking to people on the ground like this, Sam, or, you know, people that work in that space, and someone comes with a good idea and you start, and you say, well, that one ground truth, well, let's keep propagating that. And that's, you know, we didn't conceive of this idea. We just started, felt it was a good idea, kept pushing it quite independently. Reba Shire Council came up with a similar concept, and they pushed it. 95% of councillors in the LGAQ conference all voted for it. So effectively all the councillors and mayors in Queensland, the vast majority of, think it's a great idea. Keith Hamburger, Director General of Corrective Services for 8 years in Queensland, which is a very long time, he independently said this is what we need to be doing, alternative sentencing. And then you have Mark Ainsworth, former super detective superintendent, came out. He came out quite independently, said, look, something needs to be done different. You need to get out in remote areas. So everyone, and now you've got the criminals themselves saying, you really need to get us away in a remote area to break the cycle. And the government still won't do it. And, you know, I think it's because it's not the public servant's idea. They can't abide someone else coming up with an idea and the bureaucracy doesn't. So I think that's where we're stuck.
The fact that they do nothing. Did you just hear, by the way, the fact that one family here lost three cars on the weekend?
Three cars.
They're going to an even deeper level of disgraceful behaviour now, these kids. And still you don't even get a comment out of Brisbane. I mean, this is the obscenity of it. They couldn't give a stuff about us up here.
I don't mind sharing, John. There was a staffer from the government at the Cairns Parliament who tried to subtly introduce to me in the conversation that things aren't as bad as people make out on the crime. And I thought, mate, you haven't got the memo from your own boss because they stopped using that argument about a year ago. But the staffers are still in that robotic sort of trans-like state where they're trying to pretend it doesn't exist or it's not as bad as you think. So don't underestimate the incompetency or the ignorance, or maybe the arrogance of these people inside these bubbles, and they're in their cozy little world. So we've still got to fight against this, mate. But the call for this alternative sort of alternative sentencing is just or Bush sentencing, if you like, it's growing louder and louder. Mm. And it's going to hit a point. I think none of this is in vain. I think it's all going to hit a point where they can ignore it no longer, and they've got no other choice. So I think we're on the right track.
Oh, if only. Can I just hark back to an appalling decision I thought some years ago? Lincoln Springs, now we've got to close it down. It's costing too much money, whatever. But it's all right, don't worry about it, because we're going to have an alternative. We're going to create another answer to the crime plague in North Queensland. Did we ever see a brick laid? Not one. So despite that commitment, they've just stood by and looked the other way. Why we've been overrun by the most appalling behaviour from kids as young as 10. And what happens? They go before this juvenile justice system, straight out the door again, straight around the corner, into another stolen car, into another attack, particularly of the elderly. And it goes on and on. I mean, young kids in this town in the CBD get the daylights belted out of them by these people who are just driven by hatred for us. I mean, they don't want to ever talk about it, but largely people just hate our guts. So we put up with that sort of thing. We've got shopkeepers now. These kids as young as, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 come in either with their own knives or screwdrivers, or grab something sharp on the way in and demand money, and grab the tips tin on the way out, or a lot more than that. And these shopkeepers get no support whatsoever. I don't know whether we don't have enough police, or police are told to step warily because of various commitments from this state government that don't do anything to give us any relief from this plague of crime. It goes on and on. The behaviour from the people in authority is nothing short of an absolute disgrace.
It's a travesty. And John, you might remember, actually, it was a few weeks ago, the government, the police commissioner and the premier both came out, were quick to attack what the so-called vigilantes, people sticking up for themselves in Rockhampton, saying, well, we've had enough, you won't do anything. And that's when they get active.
Yes.
That's when they're straight to you saying, we've got to crack down on this and we've got to really put them in prison. These people got to be charged.
Oh, it's pathetic.
When warning us, well, you know, they're attacking all the wrong people, but they're the ones that should be sitting, putting bloody charged for not doing their job.
Mm.
So, mate, yeah, look, it's very, very frustrating. And I understand people's anger, and I'm copying it every day myself. But we've just got to keep feeding it to this government. They only know one language, right? And that's a smack around the ears, because being nice to them, they're just going to keep saying you've got to kiss and cuddle the kids. And if I'll keep saying it every day of the week, John, if you're a true bleeding heart, if you really want to change these kids' lives, you've got to be tough on them now. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what they need, some toughness and discipline. Not kissing and cuddling them and trying to keep them in cans.
Yeah.
This fellow Sam told you, he said, mate, it's no good trying to keep me here in your system, under your system. It's not going to work. He just told us that in black and white. Mm. So there's, you know, identifying that, I think, today, that as you have, is really significant, because the government, I mean, they can ignore Keith Hamburger, the ex-director general, Mark Ainsworth, chief police, and the 95% of the councillors. Mm. But now they've got to ignore the actual criminals themselves, and this is what we need.
Now, Robbie, this is the key. There's 2 points here I want you to outline briefly, because that's what we've got to do, what you recommend we do, harking back to success in that model in the past. We all know about that. But also, can I ask you how on earth we approach this nightmare, this farce, this train smash called the juvenile justice system? Do you have to dismantle it entirely, or can it be modified to have some sort of impact on the crime rate?
Well, I think the fundamental difference is giving alternate options to the magistrate. At the moment, he just got a hammer, and, you know, if all you got a hammer, pretty much everything you see is a nail. So all he can do at the moment is send the Cleveland Bay Detention Centre or put them back on the street with bail conditions, and that means these resi homes that Sam's talking about, you just walk in, walk out as you please, and you sort of, you know, you're brought up on the streets. Mm. And, you know, despite the best intentions, John, there's some good social workers out there that really try hard, but it's not cutting it, mate. We know that. Mm. And a few of them do, and they're suppressing a little bit, but then, you know, we're still living the nightmare of all the stuff they're missing and not able to control. Mm. And that big chunk needs to be sent the hell out of away from Cairns, any city area. And so that, you know, the big change we need to the Justice Act, and I've spoken to magistrates, so I'd love the option, an alternate option, a sentencing than Cleveland Bay. Yes. Cleveland Bay has 95% recidivism, 95%. Oh, that tells you it's useless. Lincoln Springs was down to about 25% or 30%, which you know, just again tells you that stuff can work. So we need to send these kids to remote areas. So change it requires an act of parliament to change the juvenile justice system to allow for a different form of sentencing. Send them the hell out to Yirrindanji on the Northern Territory border, somewhere like that. And that's where you'll start to turn these kids' life around. I mean, there's a bloke here from Mount Isa was facing life of crime. He was into that cycle. Mm. And he came out to a camp called Myuma, which is it's for Indigenous young adults. But they're very strict out there, very tough on them. And they dried him out, and he's a champion here in Mount Isa now. He ran that big Dallas marathon, and he's just a great young fellow. And he said, mate, change my life, that discipline.
Mm.
And they're very tough on him out there. Mm. It's all run by, old Indigenous fellow there, Colin Saltney. He's very hard on him. And he said, mate, it changed my life. It just turned my life. You know, I keep seeing this happen all the time, mate, but that bloke needs to be ordered by the courts to go out there. Yeah. Then we can turn people's lives around.
Mm. You know, Robbie, when I talk to you, I get a glimmer of hope, and I'm hoping listeners do too. We can't give up. We've got to continue fighting, and fighting harder than ever. So you're to be congratulated for the stand you're taking on this nightmare in our midst. Thank you.
Thanks, John. We're just going to make him listen. That's
Robbie Katter. He's the member for Traeger. He's the Queensland State Leader, Katter's Australia Party.